From the studios of WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. In less than 1 year, the Cape Fear region has witnessed the resignations of half a dozen high-profile members of the leadership at UNCW. Less than 2 weeks ago, the president of Cape Fear Community College, Ted Spring, suddenly announced his resignation. No reason has been given by either Spring or the Board of Trustees for the unexpected development. Also announced last month, UNC System President Tom Ross will step down on January 3rd of next year. The news comes after the Board of Governors voted to seek another president with no public reason given. On today's edition of Coastline, we'll talk with three key participants in the leadership of higher education in Wilmington. A new Hanover County commissioner who has been a vocal critic of county spending, including voter-approved spending for the community college. The interim chancellor of UNCW, who's setting the stage for his permanent replacement. And the chairman of Cape Fear Community College's Board of Trustees. We'll open the phones right away today since we have a different guest in each segment. Woody White joins us now with a unique perspective as a current new Hanover County commissioner and a member of the Board of Trustees for Cape Fear Community College. Woody White, welcome to Coastline.
Good afternoon, Rachel. Thanks for having me here.
We encourage you to join the discussion. You can email questions for Woody White or our other guests to coastline@whqr.org. If you'd like to call in with your question or comment, that number is 910-343-1138. Woody White, you have been a vocal opponent of public spending, public money on construction, particularly at CFCC, even though back in 2008, voters approved issuing bonds for up to $164 million. And although the issuance now of that final $40 million worth of bonds is a fait accompli, your board approved that in January, you still strongly oppose what the voters expressly and overwhelmingly said they wanted. Why?
Well, first, thanks for having me on your show, Rachel. I want to take the question's not exactly an accurate portrayal of my viewpoints. The voters did approve the bond up to $164 million in 2008. We've spent $124 million, and now we're going to spend the last $40. And you're right, that battle was waged, it was lost, and I respect the board's decision. But the reason the voters considered that bond was due to enrollment and projections in enrollment growth. And my view was, We've delivered two buildings totaling 430,000 or so square feet. The master's plan that the voters relied on in May of 2008 and then November of 2008 clearly said, hey, we're going to have this number of kids, students coming in. The growth is going to be X. We need 430,000 square feet. That was delivered. So my questions pertaining to this third component of the pie, if you will, were related to, okay, well, let's back up a second. Now our enrollment numbers aren't projections. We know what they are from 2008 forward to today. And over the last 3 or 4 years, they've consistently been dropping, despite the fact that we are just now bringing on all that square footage. So I thought it was an appropriate question to ask, do we need this extra 125,000 square feet at the North Campus?
But when you're talking about enrollment numbers, we were hearing from Dr. Ted Spring at a meeting, and this was before the vote on the bond, a county commission meeting, that enrollment had actually exceeded what was projected. So there's a real divergence in what should be a black and white fact.
There was, and the numbers and methodologies that I was being given were, I should say, not accurate. And ultimately, I concluded I needed to go to the state community college system for accurate numbers because I couldn't rely on President Spring and to give me those. And the state community college system verified that the best measure of student enrollment pertaining to curriculum and continuing ed, which are the two measures, is the tables that they list on their audit every year. Each community college, all 58 campuses, have to file those numbers every year in the spring semester and the fall semester. And there was a direct correlation in nearly 100,000 enrollee drop in the state to the community college. Now, we'd had about
10%. But are we talking about types of enrollees, you know, butts
yes,
in seats versus people online versus, I think there's even a third category, isn't there?
The third category is what's called budgeted FTE. It's very confusing. I mean, we're throwing out all these phrases, but the bottom line is the state uses a system or allows some community colleges to use a system called budgeted FTEs to smooth out the process. Because in a time when we're dropping nearly 100,000 students statewide, you don't want to have an immediate budgetary impact from the legislature because that would just devastate campuses. So there's a smoothing out process where you kind of know enrollment's dropping. You let the budgeted FTE sort of take a slower curve down, if you will. And President Spring was using those numbers after the fact. The numbers that were being proposed in October, when we were really getting down to the brass tacks of executing a new contract on the new building, were the numbers I was talking about. And even his own staff at the very incipience of this conversation said, hey, enrollment really has maintained, has been flat and dropping. And in fact, I'll end the answer on this note. President Spring commissioned a study that he paid $14,000 for to look at why our continuing ed numbers were dropping. He never told us that. And we never saw that report. We don't know what it ever said.
When was that study published? When was it
completed? It hasn't been published.
Okay.
We don't know any details about it. We didn't even know, in fact, that the continuing ed numbers were dropping.
Okay. When you're looking, though, at what is being built with that $40 million, part of it is a Center for Advanced and Emerging Technologies. And I don't want to spend too much time because
sure.
It is a fait accompli and that construction will be going forward. But that is the activities that will be happening as part of that bill, as part of the curriculum at CFCC. Some of those activities were identified as factors in economic growth by the Garner report. I mean, those are functions, for instance, of veterinary technicians. That is certainly something that we could bring to this region that would give a boost to our economic growth. So is there not already a case for that, even if you dispute enrollment and square footage, according to a 2007 facilities master plan?
Well, your question presupposes that existing square footage is insufficient to meet our needs, and I never was convinced that it was. I've always convinced we have a lot of space, flex space, classroom space. We do a lot of on-site training for economic development and companies coming in. And we've added, don't forget, nearly 430,000 square feet just in the last 20 or so months. And so my view was we have plenty of adequate space to still meet the needs. Now, the emerging tech building is going to be built. It is a fait accompli. It's going forward, and I respect that. And down the road, 5 or 10 years from now, it's going to be used. It's going to be used immediately. But my view was we could have waited a little bit while our county debt dropped off a little more, or while the state considers another bond question.
The county debt load is something that you've been concerned about, but let's move on.
Yeah.
Did CFCC's Board of Trustees pass a vote of no confidence regarding Dr. Ted Spring before he resigned?
No, not a formal vote. I think it's fair to say there was discussions about some of the decisions that he'd made on a personnel basis, but that's a formal vote of no confidence was not called.
And will there be discussion among the board? I know there already was and no action was taken, but will there be a severance package for Dr. Spring?
I don't know the answer to that. It's certainly a possibility. I think there'd be some trustees that might support that, others that might not. We'll have to wait and see. But this is a good opportunity, Rachel, to address the frustration that I and I think other trustees have. The personnel laws in North Carolina don't allow us to make statements, and it's a preposterous law because they're tax dollars. It's a public institution. How can you not tell the public what's going on? Because the silence seemingly erodes confidence in these public institutions. Very frustrating because there are issues. Some of the issues that we looked at are in the public domain, are in press accounts of real concerns about free automobiles and when the lease was signed and mileage reimbursements and things like that. So it's kind of in the public domain.
And we'll talk about
some
that later
things.
In the show. Also, the fact that WECT specifically has done a lot of reporting on some of these questions around Ted Spring's discretionary spending fund, which involved purchasing alcohol and putting in for reimbursement on mileage for this community college donated car that was also maintained by the community college. I've heard other people say, right, but when you look at all of those incidents that were brought up publicly, you're still only talking about maybe $2,500. So as the Star News editorialized a week or so ago, doesn't that require just a strong reprimand or a clarification about discretionary spending? What is this, you know, forcing Ted Spring out with no explanation?
It's frustrating. And the Star News editor, unfortunately, is not privy to the closed session discussion and evidence and things that we discussed. And
so you're saying there's more there?
What I'm saying is that the laws, unfortunately, do not allow us to reveal things in closed session. And I've advocated forever that those laws need to be changed because I think that's wrong. I think a contract that we consider for an incoming president ought to have an upfront waiver of non-disparagement and things so that we can always let the public know what's going on. But we can't change the law right now. And when the law says you can't disclose personnel discussions in closed session, it's not a luxury for me to violate that law. I will say that the board was almost unanimous in its concerns, but it's looking forward now, and it's a very bright future for a wonderful part of this community.
Okay, so just a few seconds left. Final thoughts. Dr. Amanda Lee has been installed as interim president. What is the future like for Cape Fear Community College?
The future is not unlike the past. It's always going to be a beacon of workforce development here. I hope over time we'll focus more attention on vocational training and job creation and less on some of the extravagance maybe we've had in some of these buildings. But it's an incredible opportunity for our citizens to have a jewel of a community college here, and that's what the future holds.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. Woody White, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rachel.
Coming up after the break, UNCW's interim chancellor, Dr. William Cederberg, joins us. If you'd like to ask a question, that phone number is 910-343-1138. You can send an email to coastline@whqr.org. This is Coastline.